Jeremiah was a heartbroken man. He was a preacher. He preached to the poor people. He stood and saw his nation literally ruined. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. He was a street preacher. He saw his nation divided. He saw his nation, his beloved people, taken into captivity at the hands of the Babylonian Empire. Jeremiah saw some of the most unbelievable things imaginable. He saw mothers taken from children. He saw infant children taken from mothers. He saw the sacred temple site leveled to the ground. He saw the Babylonian army come in and destroy the beloved city of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah again and again was brokenhearted. He said such statements as, "Oh, that mine eyes were rivers of waters," weeping every night, preaching and weeping every day. He watched, as we're watching today, a nation crumble before his eyes. The rich and the craftsmen were taken into captivity into Babylon, leaving just the poverty-stricken in Jerusalem. Famine set in. Hunger was rampant. It became so terrible that mothers would be so hungry they would become insane and would just kill their own little infant children, roasting them over fire and eating their own children. This is the kind of an age that saw the prophet Jeremiah rise to the scene. Jeremiah stood to speak the cause for the trouble. What is the cause for the trouble in Jerusalem? Set up straight, girls. What is the cause for the trouble in Jerusalem? What is the cause for the trouble in Palestine? Girls on the front, we don't talk here now. We're going to ask you to leave if you don't behave now. We're glad to have you, but we don't misbehave. We sit up still and we listen to everything the preacher says on Sunday. What is the cause for the trouble? Jeremiah points his finger toward what is always the cause when nations crumble. Listen. When civilizations crumble, ladies and gentlemen, it is not the fault of the politician. It is not primarily the fault of the kings or presidents. We're facing in our own nation today the tragedy of the Watergate incident. It just so happens those who were guilty at Watergate are the ones who got caught. Many of those trying and investigating the Watergate criminals have committed crimes of equal magnitude or even ones that might surpass. As far as I'm concerned, a person that kowtows to communism is committing a crime far exceeding that of Watergate. But we're seeing deterioration in our national capital, on the local scene here in Chicago, on the state scene. Our minds and hearts are stunned and shocked to disbelief almost every week as we see the headlines of our papers reminding us that corruption is creeping and has crept into high places. What causeth that corruption? What brings about a nation where moral breakdown is the order of the day rather than something surprising? It is caused by the breakdown of the pulpit. America started downward when her preachers quit believing and preaching this book. We used to have the kind of prophets who would preach the Word of God and decency and principle and honor and morality and virtue and character. Enough to where we had some decent politicians. We had sources from which to get decent politicians. You and I can recall when politicians went to church every Sunday morning. You and I can recall when we had Sunday blue laws forbidding merchandising on the Lord's Day. What happened? Our preachers ceased to be thundering prophets, proclaiming God's message from God's Word. Became sort of little pious holy water sprinklers and blessers, walking around in skirts, trying to pacify people who became a little bit at unrest. People oftentimes come to our church and they're alarmed because I make the young people listen while I preach. They're alarmed because we allow no petting or necking in our church going on while I preach. And folks are alarmed. You know why you're alarmed and surprised? Because you grew up a generation too late. There was a day when no preacher would tolerate such foolishness in church. There was a day when all preachers were God's men. Sin was wrong. Black was black. White was white. Right was right. Wrong was wrong. Nowadays we face a generation, or we face the fruit of a generation of preachers who have feared their boards and feared their people and feared their rich and feared the wealthy and feared the influential. And because of that, they have preached to please the people instead of preaching to please the God who called them and sent them to preach. And Jeremiah points his finger at the face of those who are the guiltiest. And he says the prophets are the ones who are guilty. And then he says there are two types of prophets who are guilty. There are those who preach the word of God and never preach dreams, tell of their dreams. There are those who tell of their dreams and never preach the word of God. Jeremiah stands up and says, let the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And then he says, let the prophet that hath the word, let him tell the word. Jeremiah is admonishing the prophets to preach the word, but he's also admonishing the prophets to have a dream to tell it. He's saying what we need are some prophets with vision who preach the word of God. It's not enough just to have a little emotion, a little froth, a few sad stories and a deathbed tale and a tear or two and a prayer and go home. Preach the word. But it's not enough just to preach the word either. It's not enough just to stand to a little handful of people exhorting the people from the word of God. The prophet is supposed to have a dream of bigness, a dream of growth, a dream of success, a dream of mighty crowds, a dream of folks turning from sin. He gets the dream, and then he takes the word of God and uses that word to fulfill or make real the dream. And so Jeremiah said, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. You recall the prophet Joel said, let the young men shall see visions. The old men shall dream dreams. That used to worry me a great deal. Looks like to me that the young men ought to dream the dreams. No. God wants you to keep on dreaming dreams. God wants the old men to dream. God wants you as you grow. Listen, I'm 46 years of age. Look like I'm 25. I know it. I could tell what you were thinking. I'm 46 years of age. I've got more dreams for God today than I had when I was 26 years of age. I'm 46 years of age, been preaching 27 years. I've got more dreams for the future now than I had when I was 25 or 20 when I started out preaching. Why? Let the old men dream dreams. Where there is no vision, the people perish, said the prophet. I want to say three things this morning about dreams. In the first place, have it. Have a dream. Have a dream. A person that has no dream will realize no success. Have a dream. You and I know that my brother in the ministry, not physical brother, but our brother Jerry Falwell, who's built a great church like unto this in Lynchburg, Virginia. He came to hear me preach one night in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. After the service, he asked me to drive me to the airport, he and his assistant pastor. And they quizzed me about church building. He said, Dr. Hiles, I pastor a church here or up in Lynchburg, Virginia. About 800 people, he said. And he said, I want to build a great work for God. I have a dream. I recall he had me go to his church and preach for him a couple of times and try to challenge his people. Brother Hand and I flew out and helped him start his bus ministry. I stood at the train station in Lynchburg late one night, about 1 o'clock in the morning, I guess. Brother Falwell was there with me. And I said, Brother Falwell, you have great potential. He said, thank you. I said, I'm going to recommend you to a church in a big city somewhere. He said, why? I said, because I believe you could do a great work if you had a bigger city. That shows what a prophet I am. And he said, I plan to do a big work here. I said, no, you can't do it in Lynchburg. It's not big enough. Oh, he said, I plan to do it here. I said, young man, well, I wish I'd never said that. I'll be preaching for him again in a couple of weeks, and I'm dreading facing the audience even. But I'm simply saying, have a dream. Have a dream. Young people facing life, have a dream. Have a dream. Young folks that came and said, I don't know what my plans are yet. I'm not scolding you for it, but get them. Get them. Get you a dream. If you feel like God wants you to be a doctor, I want you to picture an office. I want you to picture a clinic. I want you to picture your name. John Doe, M.D. I want you to see it there. Everything you do, I want you to work toward that dream. I want you to have a dream. Where there is no vision, where there is no dream, where there is no vision, the people perish, said the prophet. Have it, you mothers. You young mothers, have a dream for your children. When Hannah held little Samuel close to her breast, the boy for whom she had prayed so hard they thought she was drunk, when she held little Samuel close to her breast, Hannah had a dream. She had a dream that God would use him. She had a dream that Samuel would do something mighty for God. For this boy, she had prayed, not for herself, for she promised if she could have a boy, she would lend that boy to God as long as he lived. And she held that little fulfillment of one dream close to her breast, and dreams began to flood her soul. Have a dream for your child to be something big for God, and do something for God, and be a pure, decent, honest, respectable, upright child, adult of integrity. Have a dream, mothers, have a dream. And Jacob had built a little ark of bulrushes, and dabbed that ark with pitch, and placed that little body of Moses, her little boy, in the ark, trying to save him from the awful death at the hands of wicked Pharaoh. And Jacob had put that little baby Moses in that ark of bulrushes, and dabbed the ark with pitch, and walked away with that little boy in the Nile River. Jacob had had a dream, for God had told her that he was going to be the deliverer for the slave people Israel. Our children of Israel in Egypt. She had a dream. And every time she put a little piece of bulrush next to another, she had a dream. And every time she dabbed the bulrushes with pitch, she had a dream. And when she put little Moses inside that ark, she had a dream. And when she laid the ark in the Nile River, she had a dream. When she walked away with tears in her eyes and her heart pulling apart, she had a dream. What was that dream? A dream that Moses someday would be the mighty deliverer of God's people. When Eunice opened the Word of God and taught it to little Timothy, she had a dream. When Eunice looked at Timothy, who sat at her knee and learned the truths of God from her, she had a dream. She dreamed that someday her boy would be a strong, stalwart man of God. That dream was fulfilled. I need not go into it very long because I've done it so much you know it by heart. But my mother, whose picture you received this morning, mothers, she had a dream. She had a dream that her son would amount to something. I would not tell you about my birth. It was a rather unusual birth. Unusual in the fact that I weighed over 11 pounds. I weighed not much more than that when I was 17. But my mother had a dream. She gave me to God either to be a preacher or president of the United States. It looks like I may have a chance at the latter. But I'd rather be the first. She had a dream. Wasn't easy. When her husband turned to liquor and sin, she didn't give it up. She had a dream. When poverty came, she didn't quit. She had a dream. When she walked 2 miles a day to work, she wouldn't quit. She had a dream. When she worked for 50 cents a day, she wouldn't give up. She had a dream. She had a dream. She had a dream. And like she told me last Thursday night, that dream has been fulfilled. Oh, my dear mothers, have a dream. Mohammed said, paradise is at the feet of mother. A king said, the empire is at the fireside. Napoleon said, the great need of France is mothers. A king of Scotland once said, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. John Randolph said, the only thing that saved me from atheism was my mother saying, Our Father, which art in heaven. Ingersoll, the atheist, said he had explained away every argument of Christianity, but one argument he could not explain away was the argument of the faith of his mother. Let a boy get a taste of a godly mother, he'll never stray from that taste. Let a boy sit at the knees of a woman who loves God, who loves his word, who's clean and decent and honorable. Let a boy get a taste of that when he's a child. He may travel on distant waters, but his mind will never lose the vision of that mother. He may fight on distant shores, but his mind will never lose the vision of that mother. You let a young man, young boy, sit at the knee of a woman who knows God, who teaches that boy what God wants him to do. That boy may fight in the army or sail in the navy. He may be on distant lands doing business as a statesman, but whatever he's doing, he'll never forget the heritage that he had of having a godly mother. I'm saying, mothers, have a dream. Have a dream. Listen, pick up that little child and hold him near your breast today. Look at him, be he 13 months or 13 years. Hold him towards your breast and say to him, I'm not rearing you just to satisfy the desires of your mother. I'm not rearing you so you can grow up and live across the street necessarily, so you can come and see me and be to me what you ought to be to me. I'm rearing you for you to be a man of God, not a preacher necessarily, but God's man. Faith in this book with decency and virtue and honesty and integrity and character, standing 10 feet tall, always being a man.
Somebody asked another recently, said, do you think a young lady ought to marry a man who has money or a man who does not have money? Somebody said, it doesn't matter whether he has money or not. I'd rather to have a man without money than money without a man. A dream. Have a dream, mothers, for your children. Have a dream, children, for your lives. Have a dream for life. I've said this again and again, but when I was a youngster, your age, I had a dream. My dream was that someday I'd do what I'm doing right now. I pictured myself. I can recall when I was sick, very sick once. I dreamed, and I stood before a crowd of people as I'm standing now, and I dreamed about being a preacher. But I was a little boy, but I had a dream. I was not a good speaker, but I had a dream. I failed public speaking in high school, but I had a dream. Preached my first sermon and failed completely and quit in 3 minutes, but I had a dream. A public speaking teacher at Texas University, Arlington Branch, called me to the side and said, man, you could be a plumber, electrician, carpenter, you could be an engineer, but of all things, you will never be as a preacher. But I had a dream. By day and by night, I dreamed of preaching. By day and by night, I dreamed of having this book in my hand and a crowd before me. Have a dream. Get a dream. Young people, picture it. What does God want you to be? Put that shingle outside the attorney's office with your name on it. Or put that doctor beside your name. Or put that thing that you want to be and that you want to do in order to serve your own generation with the will of God. You put it in your mind and you have a vision of yourself at the place where you want to arrive. Have a dream! Have a dream! He that hath a dream, this prophet said. Number two, not only have a dream, but tell it. Tell it. Prophet said, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. Now I'll tell you why I think he said this. If you tell your dream, you'll come near fulfilling your dream. Let me tell you a story. I got a letter one day from a lady in this church. And that letter said, you know, Brother Hiles, she told me a few things about what she thought God could do here. That began to stir my imagination. And I began to build a dream for this church. You recall the night I preached on, I had a vision. Had a dream. I dreamed for weeks about a college. I dreamed of a place where young men called to preach the Word of God could come and not only find out how to do it, but what to do and have their souls set on fire to spread the gospel of Christ around this country. I had a dream. I had a dream about a high school. I dreamed about young people walking up and down the hall to the school where the Bible not only was believed, but it was preached and practiced. I had a dream where young ladies could walk with skirts decent, of a decent length, and young men could walk with haircuts and with honor, and where yes sir and no sir and yes ma'am and no ma'am was the accepted thing. I had a dream of a school where God's word and God's people could be honored. I had a dream of a grade school. That dream began to take fruition. You know why? I told it. I didn't want to tell it. I had a dream that someday we'd average 10,000 in Sunday school. Do you recall the night I preached on that? I said within 10 years, did I say? Within five years, I said, I have a dream we'll average someday 10,000 in Sunday school. That's been about 3 years ago when I said that. I sat in my office all the week before I preached that sermon, afraid to preach it. I said, Lord, if I tell those people we're going to have 10,000 in Sunday school, man alive, I'll have to do it then. If I tell these people about a college and a high school and a grade school, we'll have to do it. Of course, God knew you'd stumble if you didn't tell it. God said, if you have a dream, tell it. Put yourself on the spot. Stand up and say, I'm going to be a preacher. I recall one year we gave Bibles to the graduates. Young man walked up here and he sort of said, I'm going to go to some school and study to be a preacher. We all chuckled. But he studied and he's a preacher now. Why? He told his dream. Man walked down this aisle not long ago and said, I want to give up my cigarettes. Took a cigarette out of his pocket. Gave it to me. It's a good idea for anybody. Gave it to me. I said, I'm going to go tell the people. He said, what? I said, I'm going to tell the people. He said, tell them what? I said, you couldn't smoke it. Well, he said, hold it, Reverend. He said, if you do that, I'll have to quit. That's why I said, that's why I'm going to do it. And I stood up and I said, this man's giving up cigarettes. He looked at me after the service and said, preacher, he said, everybody in this church almost knows me. He said, you made it so I've got to give up cigarettes. If you have a dream, tell it! Tell it! Put yourself on a spot. Walk out on a limb. Tell it! Have a dream! Have a goal! And tell it! Said the prophet. As I walked through the halls of our schools, I can hardly keep from weeping when I realize the dream has been fulfilled. There is a place where our boys and girls can go and learn decency and respect. Our seniors went this last week on their senior trip. They flew to Houston, Texas for a senior trip. Reports came back to me from all over. Everywhere they went, people were amazed that there's still that kind of young people left in this world. People on airplanes couldn't believe it. The Delta airline was so impressed, they even contacted us and offered us a cut rate for next year if we'll go again with a discount. Why? Because the dream has been fulfilled. There is a place. Well, I know the kids aren't perfect. We're going to keep whittling on them until they get better. But there's a place where folks can come, and where if a cigarette's pulled out, the student is kicked out of school. Where if we hear of one little touch of narcotics, out the student goes. And where the Bible is preached every day and chapel is conducted and decency is believed and virtue is exalted. A dream? Have it. Tell it. Number three, do it. Do it. Don't turn back. Do it. Young man came to my office the other day and said, Brother Howell, should I quit college for a year and work and then go back to college? I said, no, sir. Don't turn back for a minute. Keep on going. Do it. Do it. Do it. Have a dream. Tell a dream. Do it. I have a dream, and I'm working to fulfill it. I have a dream that every young person in our church will become a doer of the will of God for his life. I used to dream of big buildings. I don't dream about that anymore. I used to dream of a great church. I don't dream about that anymore. My dream today is that all of these young people that walk across this platform will find, know, and do the will of God as long as God gives you a breath to breathe. Have a dream. I dream that these young preachers who walked across the platform this morning, I have a dream that you'll be men of God, never compromising, never giving in. If folks don't like what you preach, preach what God lacks and not what man lacks. Stand as a prophet of God in the gap. I have a dream. I have a dream for you young ladies. I dream that God will help you to be everything He wants you to be, sweet and pure and always yielded to Him. I have a dream. I have a dream that all of our boys and girls, last night, the young lady came to my office. We talked for a little while. She said some of the girls at school said, you actually go to the preacher's office? You talk to him? I'd be scared to death. I said, you mean they're scared of me? She said, yes. She said, that's why they say you have a bald spot in the back of your head. Because the youth choir on Wednesday night is staring a hole through your hair. And I said it from my heart. You mean they don't like me? Don't they love me? And she said, they respect you, Brother Hiles. And I got to thinking, as much as I love these kids, I'd die if I thought they didn't love me. Every time I stop in a service and say, sit still, it's because there's something I want you to hear. Little girl in the front this morning, sweet, precious little girl, lovely, pretty as a picture, has been misbehaving. And during the song service, I saw her get out of her seat and kneel and play around the front. And I said, dear God, that little girl may never come back here again. Do you realize these bus kids I make sit still sometimes, these little children? Don't you realize they may only come inside these walls once? If they don't hear what I have to say, they may perish without God and their lives amount to nothing because they didn't hear the message from God. Now she's sitting up
listening to me on the front. She knows I'm talking about her. She's got a life to live, a future. And I have a dream. That dream is that she and all the other little kids that come around here will be all that God wants them to be. Last night, I knew what I was going to preach all week. In fact, I've been preparing to preach on this for several weeks, knowing today was Mother's Day and graduation day. And I got the sermon all finished, but I didn't know how to close it. And I worked on closing it. And I said, Lord, how should I close the message tomorrow morning? And nothing came. And I thought, there ought to be some way to close it. I mean, have a dream! Tell a dream! Fulfill a dream! How can you close it? And the Holy Spirit said, look up at the wall in front of you. And I looked at the wall. There are my preacher boys. And I began to relive years past. And I went through the list from boy to boy. And I remembered the troubles that they had. It looked like sometimes they were going to go into sin. I relived every one of them. And the hopes and dreams that I'd had when they were little tykes as they grew up. The Lord said, that'd be a good way to close it, wouldn't it? I had a dream. I told the dream. And on the wall of my study are scores of fulfillments to dreams. You may not know how much a little thing means to me. I don't, probably shouldn't say this, but I think I will. We had a wedding here last night. Tim Cunningham. I had dreams for all those boys. For years I had dreams for them. I used to think when Tim was a little tyke, he was about the best looking kid I ever saw. Clean cut kid. Played first base on a little ball league that I used to have time on Saturday morning. I played a little ball league out Riverside Park. Went every Saturday morning. We had four teams, had a little league. And I organized it and went every Saturday morning. I had dreams for all those boys. Had a dream for Terry. A dream for Tim. A dream for the others. One who's in heaven now. This may not sound like much to you, but I prayed enough prayers and cried enough tears to fill a bucket for that one family of boys because I love them. I love the parents. Wedding party was here. Tim and I and his brother Terry standing outside the door here. I said, fellas, how's your dad? They said, he's doing pretty good. He has a little heart problem. I said, is he working regularly? And they said, yes. And I said, he's a great man. Or something like that. I said, he's an independent rascal. I said, we tried to help him some at the church, but he don't want any help. He wants to make it on his own. And Terry bristled. Sort of bristled. Stood straight. He said, we take care of Mom and Dad. My heart beat faster. And I said, thank God for young boys who become men, 27, 28 years of age, who say, we take care of Mom and Dad. Now that's a little thing. But that's what we've preached here for 14 years. Integrity, gratitude, honor, decency, character. And as I started to leave after the pictures were taken, he may not think much of this, but I did. His wife came, and they have a little baby that has meningitis. She's doing very well, thank God. She said, Brother House, thank you for your prayers. And that's spiritual talk, you see. And then as I walked away, Terry said, God bless you. Now, that may not seem much to you, but that's talking spiritually. And I went to my study and I said, I believe old Terry is becoming the man I dreamed he would all those years. I have a dream. I have a dream. I'll close with this statement. My dream this morning is not basically and foremost how many people sit in these pews, though I have a dream about that too. My great dream this morning is what kind of people sit in these pews. Have a dream. Tell a dream. Do it. Let us pray.